Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ.
This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back at this last week's message on the day of Pentecost. We're going to answer a question I was asked after the service, and I'm going to reflect a little bit of what it's like to not be accepted by the world. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello and welcome to the At the Table podcast. Today, I'm just going to talk at you a little bit as we consider Acts chapter 2. This last week, I gave a message on this, and here is my synopsis. Three takeaways I had from this that, you know, really apply to us, and I dove a lot deeper into what the passage was saying and the events of that day. So if you're interested in that, you can listen to the podcast or about the sermon, or you can watch the sermon. I'll put links in the show notes below just so you can find both. But today what I want to do is talk about this. I want to talk about these three things, specifically: God's plan demands God's power, God's plan gives God glory, and what we'll spend a little bit more time on is God's plan is not accepted by all as truth. And it was just interesting because as you listen and we talk through this in this passage, there's a number of things that just pop out at me. But I'm going to spend most of my time talking about a couple of things. One was a question I had, and I promised you last time that I would be doing more questions, and it was centered around what was so important about the day of Pentecost, and did this mean that there were a lot of people there that wouldn't be there normally? And then I'm going to focus in on verse 13, which I spent a little bit of time on Sunday, but I'm going to dive into this a little bit more. What is the implications for us? So let's jump right in. If you're not familiar with the day of Pentecost, as it's remembered, at least from the Christian perspective, in Acts chapter 2, we see this, and we realize that this is the long coming of the Holy Spirit poured out on the believers. First, the 120, the 12 apostles that day, but then from that point forward, those that placed their faith in Jesus Christ were told in God's word that we receive the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean, and how is that helpful? Well, as you've heard already, I've mentioned God's plan demands God's power, and that was not any more evident than on this day 2,000 years ago, when the apostles, who were Galileans as they were described by the onlookers, were able to speak in the native language of other people from far across the world, other Jews that were there on that day. And there's so much that we could just go into, but I just want you to walk away with this sense of understanding, and let this be an encouragement to you. And this has really been speaking to my soul this week and last week as I prepared for the message on Sunday, that God's plan demands God's power. And so many times I get an inkling, I get a feeling of what God wants me to do, and then I go into full-blown Gary mode, as I like to call it. I plan, I try to come up with the solution, and I try to do. And I don't know about you, but so many times in life, even in the midst of pursuing God's plan, that is where I oftentimes have my biggest stumblings, because I'm trying to do it myself. I'm trying to do things that aren't for me to do. I'm trying to rely on my power. And as Acts chapter 2 clearly shows us, that God's plan requires God's power. Now, as I mentioned on Sunday, that doesn't mean we're not supposed to do things. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't work hard or strive for excellence. But let us always rely fully on God's power and put trust in what He is going to do. And this idea of trust has been resonating in my heart because we've been going through some family stuff in the last month or two, medical things and situations that were completely outside of our control. And I've been challenged that I say I trust in God and I trust in His power and I trust in Him, But am I living that way? And am I living in such a way that reflects that? In fact, this is resonating so much that I'm going to share a devotional this Friday at one of our summer Vesper services, where we gather and just worship, fellowship, and enjoy each other's company. And I'm going to share this a little bit more about that then. But this idea of trusting God comes back to realizing that His plan requires, His plan demands His power. And so let that just settle with you this week. Let that give you hope. Let that encourage you, even in the midst of situations that are not going well, when it feels like God is not in control. Let us trust and have faith in Him that God has never failed us. God's word shows us time and time again that He is a promise-keeping God, and He is always there. And in Romans 8, we're reminded by the Apostle Paul that He's working all things out for the good of those who love Him and who are in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean it's going to be leveled out here in this life, but someday, as the book of Revelation tells us, He is coming back, and He will make all things as they should. And we will be with Him, those who follow Jesus, who love Jesus, who have confessed and repented and placed their faith in Him. We will be made right. And it may not be in this world. And in fact, it probably won't be. It's not going to be made all right. It's going to be sometimes hard and challenging, but we can trust God because He's a promise-keeping God. And every time His prophecy was given in the Bible, it has been made true. And Revelation is a promise to us that it will be made true in the end. So, reminder to you today, God's plan demands God's power. Another interesting aspect in Acts chapter 2 that I want to jump in just a little bit, and sometimes this is overlooked because we just jump right to the Holy Spirit part, and that's so true, but God was at work. God had prophesied that the Holy Spirit was, and told His prophets who then prophesied that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on them. You know, Peter gets into this later in chapter 2, you know, from the book of Joel, and saying that it was going to happen. It was going to be poured out. But as only God could do, is God did it at His timing. The Passover feast at this time was the right after Jesus was crucified. In fact, that was why they rushed hurriedly to place Him into the tomb before it was Passover. Well, what is not often known is that 50 days later, or Pentecost, 50 days later, they celebrated another festival. They celebrated another festival called the Festival of Weeks, or the Festival of the Harvest. And that was when they were going to celebrate for a week, starting on that 50th day. As it mentions, if you look this up, and one area that I'm using is Chuck Swindoll's commentary on the book of Acts. And, you know, Pentecost, he says, is a transliteration of the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50th. Hellenistic Jews use this name to denote the Jewish Feast of Weeks, also called the Feast of the Harvest, which began 50 days after. And what's interesting is this is a week-long celebration that devout Jews, in verse 5 of chapter 2, it also mentions this. It's now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under the heavens. One quick sentence there, but let us understand what that fully means. As I mentioned, Pentecost was the second of three festivals, as Swindoll mentions in his commentary, that required Jewish men to visit Jerusalem for at least a week. So if they were traveling from wherever they were at, days, weeks out, they would have to travel and get there most likely early, and they would have been there on this day of Pentecost because this was the kickoff. And so it's no secret, it's no surprise to God that that's why He chose that time to unleash the Holy Spirit. God could have allowed the Holy Spirit to be unleashed before that, after Jesus died, was buried, rose again, and was teaching His disciples in those 40 days, the Holy Spirit could have been given immediately after that. But in Acts chapter 1, they're told to wait for the Holy Spirit, and then they would go and do what God had called them to do, which is take the gospel to all the nations. And they waited. They didn't know how long, but God knew, and it was going to be 10 days. 10 days after Jesus ascended, which made it 40 plus 10 is 50, which is 50 days after, was during the week, the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of the Harvest of the Weeks. And so this is no surprise that this is why God chose that. And so was that intentional? Absolutely, I believe it is. It was so intentional. Why? Because there were so many Jews there. And so when the Holy Spirit came onto the 120 and empowered them, and the apostles were speaking in other tongues or other languages, there was other people, other Jews that were there hearing this message. And it was given to them in their language. And the people, the Galileans, the apostles that were there from that region that would have not been able to speak in other languages without their own, on their own power, but God, through the Holy Spirit, enabled them to do this. And so this amazing explosion, we'll read later and we'll see later in Acts chapter 2, that 3,000 believed on that day. God was about doing God things. It required His power, and it brought Him the glory. And so I want to just focus in on that. Don't gloss over that simple verse in verse 5. It says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Don't skip that. Don't miss that. Don't overlook the simplicity, yet the complex nature of what God was doing. God was bringing, as it says, those from all over the Roman Empire and beyond to Jerusalem on that day. That's when He chose to act. Boom. Mic drop. Let it be dropped. The third thing I want to kind of talk into is recognizing, of course, that God's plan demands God's power. Don't overlook, the second was don't overlook that small detail that is actually a huge detail, that God acted most certainly on that day on purpose. But the third one I want to just dive into just a little bit is in Acts chapter 2, verse 13, another verse that's kind of looked over sometimes, and I don't want to rush past it. It says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine to drink. What I want to encourage you with today, and I did this on Sunday, is that reminder that not all who hear God's plan or God's gospel are going to accept it as true. They just aren't. And I think we don't have to look very hard around us in our own lives to see that that is true. There are many people that are, at the very least, just ignoring God's plan, but some are actively going against His plan. In this world, we must always remember that this world is full of sin. And sin is what drives us away from God. But through God's grace, by the work of Jesus on the cross and raising again, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, we're drawn, some are drawn to Him. But I'm reminded of the verse where it says, the road or the highway to hell in an NLT is broad. In other words, those that reject God are many. But the path unto heaven or unto eternal life is narrow. In other words, Jesus is saying, as He said also, though, you know, it's easier for a rich man to get to heaven than it is to go through an eye of a needle, or that phrase reminding us that so many are going to choose to follow sin. They're going to choose to follow their own nature. They're going to choose to follow their feelings over what is truth. And some may even look at you, and if you choose to follow Jesus and live in such a way that's biblical and what God has called us to do, to obey Him, that some are going to look at you and say crazy things like, you must be drunk. You know, they may not say that phrase, or they might say, you're crazy. Why would you do that? Or how do you know God is real? And all those things are valid questions coming from the right perspective. But the short answer is because God has commanded us. We're called to faithfully and obediently follow Him. You know, Matthew 16:24 is becoming my life verse. If you want to be my disciples, Jesus said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Follow Him. And sometimes this is going to be, I would say, actually most times, this is going to be in conflict with the world. So I want to encourage you today that even the apostles, even the original 120 that were starting God's church, met immediate pushback. So I don't know if that encourages you or discourages you, but I hope it encourages you, because I hope you realize that even those following Jesus are going to experience pushback. You're going to be called names. You're going to be called out on social media. You're going to be put down. You're going to be questioned. You're going to have challenges, even in your own family and your closest friends sometimes, because people who are not following Jesus are not going to understand. But I want to encourage you also that this is so why it's so important to be a part of a local church, a Bible-believing, Jesus-following, God-fearing church that is preaching His Word, that is directing you to Jesus, and that is reminding you of these truths like we try to at Grace Community Church. You need a church body. Sunday, I made the comment that I view the church as a family, and so we are in this together. We are here to encourage and to edify one another, to help us grow and push us, to call us out when we need to be called out, to support us when we need to be supported, to provide meals, to spend time with, to pray for, all of these things, because we say here at Grace Community that we're doing life together. We're all pulling in the same direction, striving to follow Jesus with all that we are. And so let this be an encouragement to you that even though we will face opposition, we serve the one who has defeated everything, even death, so that we might have life and abundance, pursuing and following Him. Well, I hope this message this week has been encouraging and equipping you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ better. I hope you have a wonderful week. Until next time, everyone, have a good day.
You've been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.